I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Last night, I put my head on the pillow. I was tired after a long day. Suddenly, my eyes popped open with a start. I remembered some really important things on my task list that I hadn't touched. And I just couldn't even believe I hadn't thought about it until that moment. I felt this adrenaline shoot through my body, and I thought to myself, I cannot even believe I'm thinking about this right now. I did some deep breathing. I prioritized the list in my head, and I finally went to sleep. You know, it made me think that, you know, the truth of the matter is we all have lots to juggle. So how do we discern the difference between the good things and the best things, between the good things and the things that God Himself has actually called us to accomplish? Well, my guests today are Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus, and they're here to talk about the new book they co-authored together titled She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. And I will say, yes, this book is written for women, but men, I want you to hang in there with us because we have some encouragement for you today as well. It is a fantastic book. So many quotable quotes. I literally had to cut myself off from pulling quotes out of the book. We got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you're traveling this season, you got to bring us with you. Download our free Faith Radio app. You can live stream our shows from anywhere. You can catch the podcasts after the fact. You can even read our blog posts on that app. It's fantastic. We've got people listening in from all over the world because of that app. So check it out in the App Store, Faith Radio Network. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus are moms, wives, women, called to work, best friends and co-leaders of She Works His Way. It's a discipleship community for working women. And this is the one time I'll have you guys talk at the same time. Michelle and Summer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yay, you did it. You talked at the same time. That made me so happy. I love it. So, well, we love to start every day talking scripture and just in your own time with Lord. What's the Lord been speaking to you about? Summer, we'll go with you first.
I have loved studying the book of Colossians over the last year. And that letter, it's a beautiful letter and it always encourages me. And there's a verse at the end of Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. And then verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And if you go back and you read who this letter was being written to, which was a new church, a church that Paul was warning about letting false gospel in, false hope, false teachings in. He didn't just tell them to be careful and run the other way. At the beginning, he tells them to be careful, but at the end of Colossians, he says, you know what? Be careful, be wise, but walk toward the outsider. And I just love the picture of be careful with the world, but still we can walk towards them. So it really, for me, means we don't need to make an enemy of culture. We need to see culture as our opportunity to love them well, to show them Jesus. And that has just been at the forefront of my head over way too long. Probably the last year I've been stuck there. And it's been a beautiful thing. So
I love that, Summer. I think that is a profound invitation for all of us, you know, to not be tainted by the culture's convictions, so to speak, but to move towards and revitalize culture with the kingdom of God.
Yes,
I just think that's beautiful.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, Michelle, how about you?
I've been studying in the book of Acts, and I love the book of Acts. I feel like it's always where I go when I need to just have the fire reignited. But I noticed something in the last couple of weeks that I've never picked up on before. And it's in Acts 7, where it's Stephen's speech that really should be called a sermon. He gives like the longest sermon where he goes back all the way to the beginning and he shows how Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophets. But something that stood out that he said is that he acknowledges Moses. And when he describes him, he says he was mighty in his words and deeds. And thinking about how Moses was so insecure over his stutter. He was so insecure that he did not want to go before Pharaoh. He did not want to do his assignment that God called him to. So he brought Aaron with him, and Aaron was the one that spoke for him. But yet when we see that Moses did what the Lord called him to, despite his insecurity, despite his weakness, he was remembered by being mighty in word. And so it's just a reminder that when we have the things that we think are our weaknesses, when we submit them to God and allow him to use them, what will be remembered for, what the legacy will be what God did through us, not necessarily what we actually did. Because the reality and the truth is Moses had a stutter. He wasn't mighty in word, but yet he was remembered as being mighty in word because of what he allowed God to do in him and through him.
Somebody got to give me an amen. This is why I asked that question. That is so fantastic. And it's who doesn't need to hear that today? Mm-hmm. Because we can become so obsessed with our weaknesses. And in fact, we can become either so obsessed with our weaknesses that we disqualify ourselves, or so obsessed with our strength, we sort of disqualify God, you know, where we kind of say, I've got this, I don't need you. And that really is how your guys' ministry was born. And there's so many questions I have for you, but let's start here. Summer, I'll go to you again. Give a little backstory, if you would, not only in your faith journey, but your work life journey, and just how God started to get a hold of you on the path as you followed him and you worked out your calling.
Yeah. So it was a long and windy road, I would say. I actually was raised in the church as a pastor's daughter and loved it very, very much. I have so blessed to not have any terrible stories. I understood my faith and I understood my God and that he loved me. However, I had one ear just very much in tune with what the world wanted. And as a female who was born driven and ambitious, I was trying to reconcile my ambition with everything that I wanted to accomplish for me and in the world with my love for God and my surrender to the calling that he had placed on my life. And so most of my life was spent trying to compartmentalize, trying to be who I was supposed to be in the moment, in the place where I was at. And then one day understanding that that was the reason I was exhausted. And so we're skipping a lot of the beginning of the story, but this is how She Works His Way sort of came to be in my life, was discovering the tension and understanding it to be that I was trying to be everything that the world wanted me to be and trying to be everything that God had called me to be. And I personally was putting a different hat off on for each of them instead of just being a child of Christ and moving through all of the places he had me in my calling with one focus, one priority, and that was to keep him first. So years ago, yeah, it was, it was a wonderful experience when we first got together. Michelle, I think it was her, myself, two of our friends on Google Hangout at 5 a.m. meeting and kind of discussing all the things like the tension that I just kind of shared with you. And we were, three of us were pastor's wives. All of us were believers and all of us were women who had felt very called to work. We loved our jobs. We loved our career. It was at the height of the self-development, personal growth movement, social media, and hearing each other talk about the struggles and putting them out, just saying them out loud, and then reminding each other of what the gospel actually told us. It was the most refreshing, beautiful thing to identify that not everything we were hearing was necessarily bad, but it wasn't of God. Mm-hmm. And we had to really take it and filter it all through that. So that was my journey to where I am now and just stepping into a calling. If I could have looked at my life right now, I would, there is nothing on my plate currently that I would have ever thought that I would be doing. So I have the most shocking career to me out of anyone. I am shocked by what I'm doing, but I am so, so grateful.
Wow, that's amazing. And Michelle, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear your backstory as well. And these are just such important stories because they remind us how much God delights in every detail of our lives. He doesn't look away. He doesn't forget about us. He cares about the pace, the rhythm, our why behind the what. And I'm talking with Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus, who co-wrote the book, She Works His Way. My friend Lisa Whittle wrote the foreword. The subtitle is A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Weary traveler. You're listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. You were never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it. So just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. My guests today are Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus. They co-wrote the book, She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. And guys, I know that this is written to women, but I'm telling you, there's so much good stuff in here for men as well. And even the conversation of doing things God's way, of learning to live a life of surrender versus one of striving, because the fruit is completely different from one to the other. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Michelle, we got Summer's backstory. Now I'd love to hear yours, a little bit about your faith journey, a little bit about your work life journey.
Yes. So very similar, grew up in church. My dad was a worship pastor. And so I honestly joke that I may have spent more hours in the church growing up than I actually spent in our home. But I fell in love with Jesus at a very young age, but I think that similar to what I went through in adulthood, what Summer talked about having this whole idea of, I want to be who God wants me to be, but I also struggle with wanting to be who the world expects me to be. And I think that that juggle started for me really young, of a Jesus and way of life of, I want Jesus, but I also, like, really young, it was, I want to get good grades and I want to be liked. And this need for approval of other people, I feel like just continued to follow me around. And there was always something that I was chasing in my life in addition to Jesus. So it was like, I want Jesus and I want to be the prettiest person in the room. I had an eating disorder when I was in college. Like, it just continued to fester. And I feel like when I got into the workforce and I recognized that approval would be very dangerous in the work world, I saw that this similar thread that I had experienced throughout my life was something that only Jesus could solve. When I saw him as the sole solution, when I saw him as the one who had approved me, and that approval of others or in other places wasn't necessary, that was going to be the only way. Otherwise, like, I was just constantly going to be switching my striving. And transparently, I was always going to have things in my life that were competing for his spot because they were always going to be getting my attention. And so I, meeting with Summer and our two friends, it was like just a deep sigh of relief to hear that other women felt the struggle that I felt, that they felt this tension. Like, we talk about it all the time. We still see it in our community today, to where the tension only becomes less tense when you talk about it. And so hearing that other women were seeing these twisted versions of the truth, because there were certain things that were blatant lies that I felt like were easier to identify, but then there were these, like, half truths that started coming out in culture that it was harder to identify. Okay, but that's almost the truth, but somehow it just makes it a little bit more about me than it makes it about God. And trying to navigate through those together, going to scripture as our source, holding each other accountable, praying, recognizing that all of these other pursuits, like, they're fine results if they're things that God wants to do in my life, but results are God's job. obedience is mine. And when you hand it over to him in a surrendering way, not in a way that says, I no longer have to make any efforts, but saying, God, I'm going to show up and I'm going to pursue you. And I really do trust you to do the rest. It was such a pressure off way to live versus the pressure on of I'm going to try to conjure up all of the results and I'm going to try to do everything God's way, recognizing that that was me attempting to do God's job and transparently doing a really bad job of doing God's job.
How did it change for you, Michelle, when you started to make that shift? Because that isn't semantics. That really is shifting from sinking sand to a solid rock. Mm-hmm. But like, how did that net out in your life? Like, what was the fruit of that?
Oh, it was recognizing that, just like I said, if I was doing a really bad job of his job, but seeing that when you hand things over to him and when you just commit to show up, and like Summer was talking about, of recognizing your identity of I'm not trying to be the best here, or I'm not just mom here, or just have my work hat on here, but seeing I was purposefully created by the most creative creator. And I was put here on this earth to reflect his glory for his glory and the good of other people. And taking that as the main reason why I exist in every single place, it simplifies everything, because it's no longer me trying to figure out how I can mold myself into whatever expectations exist, but really walking in faith. I think we come back inside the community, we come back to Galatians 5:16 all the time of what it really means to like stay in step with the Spirit. Of it takes effort to stay in step with somebody. You've got to be watching where they're going. You've got to watch the pace. You've got to slow down when they slow down. You've got to speed up when they speed up. And so it is a constant dependence driver of where I feel like the world constantly pushes us towards independence, but yet we were created to be dependent creatures. And so pushing myself to dependence on the Lord and to trust that he has always been faithful and he will always be faithful is such a more freeing way to live than trying to put all the pressure on myself to do the results my way in my time.
Love that. And you're right. Attempts to reduce our earthly idols never work. Idols must be replaced. And I so appreciate both of you, how you wrote about, you know, the approval of addiction, where Summer, you were more about proving yourself. And you guys both really touched on this, but I want to read it in case someone needs to hear it. Women are simultaneously striving to be who God says they are and who the world says they should be. That's not balance. That is bondage. And Summer, talk about just the idea that marriages and families do unravel unnecessarily when we refuse to acknowledge our limits, when we're trying to be all things to all people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we push back on the word balance here. And we do our best to not try to be negative or make an enemy of things, but to just help you identify the truth behind the word or behind the philosophy that sometimes we're taught as men and women, that balance is the answer. When in fact, what balance implies, if you would just go there visually for a second, what you would see if you saw the word balance is probably something that looked perfect. Balance implies perfection. It implies equal. And when everything is equal, when everything is perfect, that is very rare. But when it is, the main dilemma is that you have made God equal, or you have made God the same as everything else, which is not how he intended it to be. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek him first, and then everything else will be added. So when God is first, everything else comes in. So our families, our marriages, our parenting, everything unravels when it becomes the idol or when it becomes less than it should be. God being first and being most in every area of our life will then add all of the things where they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to be, because it is so easy for us to create rules for ourselves, to overcorrect instead of just surrendering to what it is the Lord has called us to. So sitting in a place and going, okay, God, you're going to be first. And period, end of sentence. Like, it's almost too much for us as human beings. We're like, oh, there's got to be more. I have to do more. But that's it. That's everything. Understanding that Jesus is sufficient, and then he will meet all of our needs when he is first, everything else will come into play how it's supposed to be. That saves marriages. It saves parenting. It saves families, because everything goes through him before it goes through you. And that's so important.
I love this. You said better life balance is not the solution. Order is. We were divinely designed to put God first. So, Michelle, we've got about a few minutes before our break at the bottom of the hour, but talk about, so it started out with a few of you on a Google Hangout meeting just because you wanted to support and encourage each other. You didn't start out with this, I mean, ambition to make something even of that. Praise God that, you know, he doesn't always show us where things are going, because we can turn that thing on so fast, especially if you're a producer. But you were just doing it because you wanted to seek God and find some encouragement among your sisters. But what has God done with what was born out of that Google Hangout?
We always joke, and I love the way that Summer says it. She says that they bullied me into starting an Instagram account, which is about 95% true.
Me too.
But yeah. Truthfully, what we recognized is that the women that we knew in our lives, because we were all in different cities, they were hungry for this conversation too. And so we didn't really know what God was going to do with it. We just knew that it was something that needed to be talked about. And so I'm so grateful that I don't know that we've ever had a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, but because it's always been centered around who's gathered around this conversation and what do they need? Every step of growth that we've experienced in the ministry has been a result of what the women who were gathered here said that they needed, and us doing our best to see if we could deliver it. And so we have a network that is online, and there's weekly trainings that happen there where we get to have the same conversations that we had in the beginning days on Google Hangout. And praise the Lord, they don't happen at 5 a.m. anymore. And so we're able to keep in step with that. We have a conference. It's moved to twice a year. So we have an event coming up in April in Annapolis, Maryland. So if you're in the greater DC area, we'd love to see you. And then we're going to be in Atlanta in October. And we have a high-level mastermind for women who are really looking to grow and develop in their professional circles. And instead of just talking about business in general, since we have been called more to a ministry seat right now, that allows us to really kind of draw from our experience that we have in the corporate and professional space, and to be able to equip these women to really go into their workplaces as missionaries. And then the book has been a huge thing. And we put out devotions on YouVersion. We partnered with them to write some devotions that are very specific to what women in the workplace encounter, and how scripture speaks so eloquently into every circumstance that we would ever find ourselves in. So we're really blown away and amazed by what God has done.
Well, praise God. You know, we never despise the days of small beginnings, because he's always up to something good. Talking to Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus, their book and their ministry titled She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. More with them in just a moment. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus, who wrote a great book. I love this book. It's titled She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. And you say that being a hard worker without depending on God can turn that strength into a blind spot. Michelle, say more about that. It's like an overdeveloped muscle, truly. But say more if you would.
Right. So we can start to forget that every good thing, every gift is from God. And when we start to make our hard work about us and what we can do, then we start to forget sometimes what God can do and what God has done. And that makes dependence harder. that makes our worship a little less genuine. And it makes it to where we, because the gospel is so different from every other world religion. You know, most of the other religions are put an emphasis on what you have to do. And you know, Jesus said, done, you know, the gospel, it is finished. And so what we have to do with our work is remember that no matter what we're able to do, it's only a result because of what God has done and what Jesus has done. And so your work and your work ethic and your ability to be able to do that is wonderful, but it still has to submit to the overall belief and the understanding that God's ways are higher and what he can do is so much more powerful than ours. And so it's a good thing, but it's not the best thing.
Amen. Well, you have four questions that you ask yourselves when you're considering time commitment. So I'll just sort of, I'll list each question, kind of trade back and forth between the two of you to have you speak to them. They're so good. The first one is, does this keep me dependent on God? Speak more to that if you would, Michelle.
So does it, it's a lot of what I just talked about, because the world does push us towards independence and pushing us toward what we can do. And so if I'm looking at something and it's going to be about my ability, then my question is like, do I still recognize my God, my need for God in this? And so that's the first thing, is making sure that the places where I'm spending my time push me further to dependence on the Lord instead mm-hmm. of depending more on myself.
Which means he, you know, pushes us more into the faith zone. You know, we right. love comfort, right? But he loves our faith, and we want to stay right. where we think, I got this. We don't have anything, but we like that's to, right. you know, stay in the easy zone and the shallows, but being willing to say, God, do the impossible in and through me yes. leads us into those places of absolute dependence. All right, Summer, how about this one? Does this keep mm-hmm. me dedicated to my family?
This is, in the beginning, when She Works His Way started, we had younger kids. Actually, that 5 a.m. meeting was because the rest of our days were so full. I was driving from dance to soccer to my work to church to all of the things. And so what we had to do is come together and remind each other what our true first callings were. And I love the way Michelle actually says it. She says, I am the only one that can be my husband's wife, and I am the only one that can be the mother of my children. All of my other roles are replaceable. Somebody else could come in and do what I do for She Works His Way or for my jobs or for anything else. So in understanding the seriousness and the importance of that, we have to make sure that our family feels that way, that they know that we feel that way about them. And when we were called to go and make disciples, that certainly includes the people inside of our homes. And so we need to make sure that in our day-to-day, we are doing that, leading our children to Jesus, pointing our husbands, pointing your spouse to Jesus. So, so important.
Mm-hmm. So good. So we're looking at these four questions that these gals ask themselves when they're considering time commitments. Does this keep me dependent on God? Does this keep me dedicated to my family? Thirdly, Michelle, does this make me effective at work? I love that question. Say more.
So I think that sometimes we can get in a success zone where we think about the task at hand. And in getting task oriented, we can forget about the people that are around us. And so when we think about how Jesus simplified the law, in that he simplified it by making it easier to remember, because he said, it's most important that we love God and love others. That was essentially his answer when the Pharisees tried to trick him with this question. But what we need to remember then is that people are the point. And so when we're showing up at work more than a task, more than a title, more than a position, more than a paycheck, the reason why we're there is to be his witness. Why? For others, to be able to have those relationships. And so seeing us as effective in our work is a lot more about seeing the gospel opportunity that exists in the relationships that he puts around us.
Boy, that's so good. Because one would think, as you were saying, effective is status, it's accomplishment, it's getting to the next place that you want to go. And if that's your mindset, you can justify just about anything. But if it's about the gospel and about people and them knowing that they're the object of God's affection, why? What a different bullseye. Okay, the fourth question, does this hinder my commitment to the gospel? Summer, what do you say?
That's going to go back to a little bit of what Michelle just said. And just understanding that as believers, we have a couple general calls, commands on our life that we see in scripture. One is to love God and to love others, and the other is to go and make disciples. So am I committed to the gospel means, am I willing to go and make disciples and to love God and love people beyond and above anything else that I'm doing? And throughout my day, understanding that my workplace, my home, my church, my coffee shop, wherever I am there committed to the gospel and committed to loving God, loving others, and making disciples. Seeing that as top priority changes everything for a believer because it reminds you all day, every day, who you are, why you're here, who you belong to, and what your actual purpose in life is. The question that people are walking around us every day trying to figure out, we have the answer to, but sometimes we forget to live it out. Sometimes we forget that we have that answer. So being committed to the gospel is understanding your purpose and living it out in a multitude of ways. We love that believers are all over the marketplace, that we're all over the world doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. In those places, though, the gospel is the most important thing.
Amen. Over and over again in the book, I notice you draw the distinction between his way and our way, you know, between obedience versus success, between love versus skill, losing myself, finding myself, listening and being heard, knowing God or being known, to serve or to lead. And I love the examples you offer here. I'm going to read them. Here's some examples of just making that distinction. Hating your enemies is submitting to culture. Loving your enemies is submitting to God. Exaggerating success is submitting to culture. Not despising small beginnings is submitting to God. Loving money and material possessions is submitting to culture. Loving generosity is submitting to God. And I love this. She said, culture doesn't shift, culture drifts, and you can't drift upstream. Michelle, talk about that, especially with the women that you guys lead, as far as, you know, the tension of really that reality, that culture drifts and is drifting, and women may be feeling like, I've got to make it. I've got to be able to make it in the world to help provide for my family. How do you help kind of guide women so that they are keeping scripture first, God first, and trusting him more than they can trust their even their read on what they may need to do to make it in culture?
Right. I think part of what we do is teaching people or reminding them. That's really what we do more than anything else. I feel like culture is so loud, and I don't know that we say an original thing, but in a world that is so loud, most often we don't necessarily need to be taught something new. We just need to be reminded. And when the Holy Spirit is inside someone else, when it hears truth, like, it has such a different effect when it's something that God is stirring your heart versus just words that are said, when it is rooted in something that God has already said. And so I feel like something that we say all the time is that we really just want to remind you of what God has already said. And so it goes back to there being like these little half truths that are just twisted, and they sound so familiar. Even if you think about the instances in scripture where the enemy speaks and he'll quote scripture, but what he'll do is he'll add something to it, or he'll take something away, he'll change it just a little bit. We see this in his account, in his conversation that he had with Eve in the garden. And then even in Matthew 4, when he took Jesus and led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted there, and he encountered him there. And so I think more than anything, it is reminding us that in Christ, when we believe in him, that the Holy Spirit comes inside us and lives inside of us. And to trust that things that don't settle in our spirit well, instead of ignoring that, like pressing into it and seeing like, okay, what does God have to say about this? And why did that not settle wrong in my spirit? Why did that not hit right? Because there's no such thing as half Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit Junior, like none of that exists. The full Holy Spirit exists in every believer. And so reminding ourselves that we can pray to him, that we can open up his word, and that it is living and active, and that he still speaks, and that it is promised to give us everything that we need to live a godly life. And so we come right back to it. And so I feel more than anything that teaching anybody, it's just reminding us where we need to go, what we need to reflect on, and what we need to dwell on, so that the things of earth grow dim. They don't have the same appeal that they used to, because we are understanding truthfully who God is. And when you see that and you see him in all of his fullness, you do start to see the world and the counterfeit versions. And again, not in a way that makes culture the enemy, but in a way that has compassion on that and wants to speak the truth over that, so that people can see the hope that exists only in Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. One more question for you, Michelle, before we go to our break here. Love the way you guys unpack the Great Commission. You say the command isn't actually to go. What is the command?
So this is really, really nerdy. But in the Greek,
I love it.
Yeah. In the Greek, a more accurate translation is as you go, or as you are going. And so the command is not to go. The assumption is that you would be going. Like Summer talked about earlier, like you're going to go to your workplace, you're going to go to the coffee shop, you're going to go to the gym, you're going to go into your community. And so the command then being, if it's not go, is to make disciples. And so again, it simplifies everything when we recognize, okay, the assumption is that I'm going. This isn't merely a verse that's meant to inspire me to go on a short-term or a long-term mission trip, but understanding that I am on a mission trip. My life is a mission trip. God has commissioned me as a missionary right where he has me right now to be his witness. And my purpose in that is to make disciples, to teach people about who Jesus is, and to continue doing that until he returns.
Somebody got to give me an amen. I need an amen. Somebody texted in. All right, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to talk about the diagrams in your book. I loved them. You had two circles, one of striving, one of surrender, making a very clear distinction of the cycle and the circle of striving and the cycle and the circle of surrender. You're going to love it, friends. I'm going to describe you. Even though it's radio, I think you're going to be able to picture it in your mind, talking to Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus. Boy, you guys are sharp. I appreciate you so much. They authored the book, She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. We'll be back in a minute. I don't have to search hard to find you. You're listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Michelle Myers and Summer Phoebus. They're best friends, and together they started a ministry, and they've written a book titled She Works His Way. The subtitle of the book is A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. This book is just fantastic content, so rich. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, and they say, like submission, biblical surrender is often misunderstood. A life of surrender is not absent of action. The surrendered person just doesn't plow ahead without the Lord. And Summer, let's talk about these two diagrams that you offer in the book. I actually took a picture of them and texted them to a friend. I just said, this is awesome. So I want you, friends, as you're listening, to picture, since we don't have the benefit of the, you know, a visual, the first circle is the circle of striving, and you just kind of see the cycle, and it goes, starts out with striving, and then it's all depends on me, then it results in pressure, and it works out of a sense of overwhelm. On the other hand, the second circle is surrender. Picture that at the top. It all depends on God. It results in peace, and it works out of the overflow. Talk more about those two, because they're very, very different, as you know.
Yes, yes. One is exhausting. One is exhausting.
Yeah. Right.
We see so many women stuck in this cycle. And I think that I just have to give a ton of grace here, because we are taught from a young age that things depend on us. So the rewiring of our brains is required, but that can't happen until our heart understands it differently too. Until we realize that surrender is the call on our lives. It's not the lazy way out. Surrender is the gift of what Jesus did for us on the cross, his death and his resurrection. It's not us just cheapening out and not using all of our skills and our ambition that we have. So the one circle that surrender, it basically just means I fully understand that everything depends on God. And that when I understand that everything depends on God, I will lean into that. I will understand. And then the more I depend on God, the more I'm going to see his faithfulness. And the more I see his faithfulness, the more I'm going to experience a trust and a freedom in that trust that allows me to go back to him every single time instead of trying to take it back for myself. So I have two daughters, they're 19 and 21. And I pray all the time for God to show them personally his faithfulness in their lives, because that is the best way to learn to have full surrender, to understand that God has them personally. They can hear stories, and those are amazing for their dad and myself to explain to them how he's been faithful in our lives. And they're beautiful stories, but there's just nothing like experiencing that faithfulness personally. And we have to surrender in order to do that. But the world will tell us that striving is the way to go. And the world will tell us that it all depends on me, that I have to carry the weight of my work of the world and other people's world. I have to carry it all. I have to make it happen. I have to go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. When Jesus is just saying, give it to me, give it to me. And so that striving works out this place of overwhelm that requires all this pressure, whereas the surrender, it just depends on God. We work out of the overflow of that trust I was just talking about, the knowing that he will be faithful, that overflow that comes out of us, that peace that comes out of us, and we get to just rest. And it doesn't mean that one side everything gets accomplished and the other side nothing gets accomplished. It means that what is supposed to get accomplished gets accomplished, and it's in the power of the Holy Spirit and what God has done for us, and not in and of ourselves.
That's got to feel like such a relief to somebody listening today. In fact, Michelle, I wonder what you would say to the person listening saying, you know, I love Jesus. I walk with him. I spend time with him, but I am exhausted and I'm stretched so thin. I feel like my body is stuck in fight flight and I can't get into that rest, digest kind of just the ebb to the flow, so to speak. What advice would you have for that person today?
You know, I think that one time when I was trying to illustrate what the life is like in jumping back and forth between what the world expects and what God has already spoken over to me to be true, is like there's two different paths and you're constantly jumping from side to side. And so when you jump from side to side, that's still physically exhausting, but it's also really frustrating because there's no forward progress. You can't really see moving forward. And so you don't understand why you don't see any growth and direction in a positive way. And how could you be so tired and there be nothing moving forward? And so I think what I would just tell you is recognizing that when we think about faith and we think about the way that God defines it in Hebrews 11:1, it talks about how faith is essentially confidence in what we don't see. And it's the assurance of things that are hoped for. And so it's this confidence that Christ came and he was who he said he was, and he's going to come back. And so to live, even though we've not seen it, to live with that confident anticipation and to know that, like, we may not know how this particular chapter is going to work out, but we know how the story ends and we know who is in control. And because we know the author who is writing the story, like, couldn't he and shouldn't he be trusted with the pen? And so if you just open your hand, Summer and I are very big visual people. And so, like, the whole idea of just opening your hands to give the Lord what is already his versus holding things with a clenched fist, understanding that when you open your hands, it not only gives them to God, but like it enables you to be able to receive from him as well. And so if that's something that you need to do, unless you're driving, don't do it. But if you're in a place where you can, like, just open your hands and just let that be a symbol of saying, like, Lord, the things that I've been clutching, the things that I've been keeping from you, the things that I want to have control over. Like, if I could go back to myself in my 20s, Summer and I were talking about this the other day, of how I would tell myself, your faith will not grow the way that you want it to as you are holding on to control. Like, faith and control are in opposition. And so all of the things that I was aiming to control, I was holding back in faith from. And as soon as I let go of control of things and recognized the one that I knew was in control, but didn't act like was in control, as soon as I did that, my faith started to grow, because, like you were talking about, like, it had an opportunity to grow because it was stretched, because it was needed. It was the thing that I was relying upon. And so allow your faith to grow. And when you, just like Summer said, she prays for those opportunities for her kids to see that God is faithful. Like, he is forever faithful. That is who he is, and he can't deny himself. And so if you put yourself in a position to see his faithfulness on display, your faith in him will grow, and it will be so much easier for you to let go of the things that you are trying to control now.
Such a great word. You know, my hubby, he works in the marketplace, is a commercial construction manager for big giant projects. And, he mentors young men in the marketplace, mm-hmm. and he identified 6 young men in their 20s, solid, super awesome Christian guys who are all in the marketplace. And it was really toward the end that they met monthly for a year. They had assignments and books to read every month. And it was like the light bulb moment happened for them when they realized they weren't substandard Christians because they were out in the marketplace. It's like they had this underlying belief that because they weren't in ministry on staff at a church, they had to apologize as Christians for, and he's like, are you kidding me? You are sent. You are missionaries into the marketplace. And I would imagine that mindset is even more so for women. I have a niece who loves to work, and she feels apologetic about it. But she feels called to it. And I'd love actually for both of you to speak to that, because I imagine it's a prevailing mindset that I feel guilty because as a Christian woman, I feel called to the marketplace. Summer, what do you say?
Oh, I say step into your calling and understand that it absolutely is a mission field, and that everything else in your life will happen in the way it's supposed to happen when you are obedient to where God has called you to and see it as a gift. I always try to help women understand we were knit together in our mother's womb. When God knit us together, think about that word picture. Think about that he wanted us to know that there was time and energy and effort put into this. So our unique wiring, our unique way that we were made, it gives us these desires that might be different than maybe what we would think we should have or what traditionally we should have. But God created us with this calling, with this deep desire, with this unique set of gifts and skills to be used in a place where he wants us to reflect him. And so I was 15 years old when I got my first job, and I didn't want to go home. I had a wonderful home. I loved work. I loved work so much. I was ready to quit school and just work. And I couldn't wait. And only God could put a desire like that inside me. It was a tanning bed place. It couldn't have been the job that was that rewarding. So, like, understanding that he created me with this love for these things, and it's okay for me to step into them, because as I step into those places, I get to reflect him. I get to show up in a place where maybe nobody else is, and I get to share the gospel in a way that maybe nobody else is. That is beauty, and that is a gift. And we have got to understand that we go to our church to get excited and motivated and learn about the gospel, and that we leave our church to share about it. So that has to be in the forefront of men and women's minds.
Well, I'm so sorry, Michelle. We are up against our out here now, but this was so fantastic, you two. I really so appreciate your hearts and the way that you so clearly articulate the gospel and the call of God on our lives. Mm-hmm. And this has just been a treasured time. I just am honoring the gift of God in both of you. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So good. Michelle Myers, Summer Phoebus are my guests today. Their book, She Works His Way, A Practical Guide for Doing What Matters Most in a Get Things Done World. I love it when authors write like they speak, and they definitely do. You will love this book. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.